Daniel chapter 2, exciting story. In fact, I don't know why people don't appreciate the true stories that are in the Bible. I don't know why people read fiction at all. This book is just so chock full of just exciting stories. And this one in Daniel chapter 2 is no exception. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. The Bible says his spirit was troubled and he woke up and he couldn't go back to sleep. And we know in Bible times that God often used dreams to reveal things to people. We remember the dreams that the butler and the baker had, the wine taster and the baker had, and the Pharaoh's servants that Joseph told when he was the keeper of the prison. We remember the dream that Pharaoh had that got Joseph out of prison and caused him to be second in command in Egypt. We remember the dream that Joseph had about taking Mary to be his wife, and the dream that God gave him that said, hey, you need to leave because somebody's going to try to kill little baby Jesus. And then the dream that he had said, okay, Herod's dead, now you can go back. And so God has used dreams in this book to reveal things to people. Now, we have his total revelation, everything he wants us to know in this book. So I don't think he uses dreams very much today to reveal things to us. But the king had a dream. It troubled him. He woke up. He couldn't go back to sleep. And so because he was king, he didn't have to wait till the next morning. And I don't know if he pulled his rope or rang his little bell, but he called his servant and said, go wake up all the wise men. Go wake up all the astrologers. Go wake up all the seers, because I've had a dream and I need to know what it means. And so he called them all together and he said, boys, I've had a dream and it's troubled me. My spirit is troubled. I can't go back to sleep. I want you to tell me what I dreamed and I want you to tell me what it means. I've forgotten what I dreamed, but I know it was a troubling dream. And you guys are the wise men. You're the fortune tellers. You're the seers. And so I know that you can tell me not only what I've dreamed, but what it means. And by the way, if you don't, I'm going to cut you all up to pieces. Now, that's real motivation. I mean, isn't it? I mean, if somebody told you, gave you an instruction, said, unless you do it, I'm going to cut you into pieces, it would be motivation to do what the king is telling you to do. Well, but these wise men said, now, king, if you'll tell us your dream, we'll tell you what it means, but we cannot tell you what you've dreamed. In fact, there's no man on earth that can do that. Only the gods whose dwelling is not on earth whose dwelling is not with flesh, only they can tell you what you dreamed. We cannot. And the king said, now look, I employ you. You're all my advisors. You're my wise men. You're the astrologers. You guys are just stalling for time. Tell me what I dreamed and tell me what the meaning is, or else. I'm going to end your employment. I'm going to do worse than that. I'm going to end your life. And again, they said, we cannot do that. Only God in heaven, the gods that don't dwell with men, that don't dwell with flesh, only they can do that. Boy, these guys were right on there. Because there is no man that can tell another man what they dreamed. There is no man that can go into your mind and say, well, this is what you dreamed. Now, God used other men, like he used Joseph and the prison and Joseph, Mary's husband, to interpret the dreams that God gave them. But no one can tell another man what they dreamed. And so the king got mad. He said, he called his servant and he said, I want you to gather up all the wise men. I want you to get them all together, all the astrologers, all these guys that I have on the payroll that are supposed to advise me in situations like this, and kill them all. Cut them into pieces. Now, there was a man who was one of the wise men that was in the employment of King Nebuchadnezzar. His name, we know, was Daniel. Now, the King Nebuchadnezzar gave him a different name, but we know him as Daniel. And the servant, as he was gathering up to the wise men, came to Daniel and said, I got to get all you guys together. King Nebuchadnezzar has ordered me to kill you all. And Daniel said, well, what's the problem? He must have not been called to the bedside. He must have not been called to the presence of the king, because when the servant came to gather him up, he said, tell me what's going on. And this servant told Daniel, well, the king had this dream. He called all the wise men, said, tell me the dream, tell me what it means, or else I'm going to cut you all to pieces. They couldn't do it. And so I'm gathering you up. I'm going to kill you all. And Daniel says, well, let me go talk to the king. And so Daniel goes and talks to the king and says, if you'll give me a little time, I'll tell you the dream and the interpretation of what that dream is. Now, Daniel was a man. How could Daniel, as a man, say something all the other wise men couldn't say? How could Daniel, as a man, make a promise to a king that no man could make? Let me tell you why. Because Daniel knew the God that didn't dwell with men. Daniel knew the God that knew what the king dreamed. And Daniel said, if you'll give me a little time, king, I think maybe I can get God to tell me what you dreamed and what it means. And the king says, okay, I'll give you a day. The Bible doesn't say how long, but he said, I'll give you some time. And so Daniel goes back and talks to three other men that we know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their names that King Nebuchadnezzar gave them. And he said, boys, we got to pray. We got to get an answer from God. We need to know what the king's dream, and we need to know what the interpretation is. Otherwise, he's going to kill us with all the other wise men. So they began to pray. They began to beg God. They began to ask God to show them what King Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed and what it meant. That night, Daniel had a vision. And in that vision, God showed Daniel what Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed and the interpretation of it. Now, I don't have time to read it. I'll read a little bit of it in just a minute. But Daniel had a Baptist Pentecostal fit when God gave him an answer to that. He got excited about what God had done. Of course, if we were in his situation and got an answer from God that was going to save our life, we might get a little bit excited too. And so Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, they just had a time of rejoicing and praising God. And Daniel goes in early the next morning to the servant whose job was to gather up all the wise men and kill them and said, take me to the king. My God has showed me what he has dreamed. I will tell him what he wants to know. And again, Daniel tells him what goes in before the king. And the king says, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel says, wise men can't. The astrologers can't. I, on my own, cannot either. I mean, I'm one of these guys. And when they told you that no man can tell you the dream, they were right. I can't tell you either. I don't have that kind of wisdom. I'm not that smart. But there is a God in heaven, and I know him, and he can tell you what you dreamed and what it meant. So Daniel goes on to tell King Nebuchadnezzar about this statue that he dreamed about, whose head was made out of gold and different parts of the body were made out of different metals. And he explained to the king how that was a prophecy of his kingdom that represented the head of gold and all the other kingdoms that were going to follow his that were not as good as his kingdom was. And at the end of the story, King Nebuchadnezzar said unto Daniel, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings. I want to remind you tonight that the same God that Daniel had, we have. He's the same God. The same God that revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel is the same God that we serve today. And I want you to know something. That God has not changed. In Malachi 3:6, the Bible says, for I am the Lord, I change not. And that God, who this heathen, wicked king, who, by the way, I think came to meet the Lord before his kingdom was over. He was the one that saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3 in the fiery furnace. He was the one in chapter 4 that lost his reason and lived among the animals for a season. And then God gave him that reason back. And he confessed that, as he did here in chapter 2, that your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings. That same God is the same God that we serve today. He hasn't changed. And if Daniel were alive tonight, Daniel was standing in this place tonight, he would tell you the same thing that I'm going to tell you. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. 3 points. Number one, that God in heaven is still in charge. He's still in charge. Daniel said in verse 20 of chapter 2, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." What Daniel was saying, there is a God in heaven, and he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He can change seasons. He sets up rulers and takes them down. If he wants to change time, he can do that. God's so powerful that if he wants time to stop, it will stop. He's so powerful, if he wants time to go backwards, it will go backwards. You know, we read about where King Hezekiah asked for a sign that God was going to add 15 years to his life. And the prophet said, "Well, sure, I'll give you a sign. God will give you a sign. Shall I make the sundial go forward or make it go backwards so many degrees?" And Hezekiah said, "Well, it's nothing for the dial to go forward 10 degrees, but it would be really something for it to go backwards, for time to go backwards. Make it go backwards." We read that story and we don't think about it. Do we understand? Do you understand what God had to do to make time go backwards, to make the shadow on the sundial to go backwards? He had to stop the earth. He had to turn it in the opposite direction so that the sun, as it reflected on that sundial, would go. I mean, God had to stop the earth. He had to turn it backwards. Don't you tell me that my God, the one in heaven, is not omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do anything he wants to do. He is omniscient. He knows everything. That's why he can give wisdom to the wise men. That's why he can give knowledge to them that have understanding. Our God is still in heaven. He is still in charge today. He is still omnipotent. He is still omniscient. Look, people say today, well, God's not active on the earth anymore. God's not making his presence known anymore. And I don't know what they're looking for. Yes, he hasn't parted any seas lately. And yes, there's no manna from heaven lately, no water from a rock. But people in Noah's day said the same thing that people are saying today. Where's God? Where's God? I mean, they lived their life just like people are living today, doing anything they wanted to do. The thoughts of their imaginations were only evil continually. And whatever they thought about, they did. They said, there is no God. He's not omnipotent anymore. He's not around anymore. Well, they found out that he still was when the floodwaters came. They found out that he was still in charge when God sent punishment. He had a preacher that preached for over 100 years that judgment was coming. They ignored him. They knew that God was God when the world was flooded. People of Sodom and Gomorrah said the same thing. There is no God. We can live any way we want to live. Well, they realized when the fire and the brimstone fell from heaven that there was a God in heaven and he was still omnipotent. He was still in charge. God can change times. He can change seasons. We know that. We live in Michigan. He does it all the time. I mean, he can be winter one day and summer the next day, all in the course of a week. But our God can do what he wants. He's all powerful. He's omnipotent. The same God that spoke the world into being is our God. The same God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, is our God. The same God who said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters," is still in heaven tonight. The same God who spoke and there was dry ground and grass and animals is still the God that's in heaven. And the same God that took the dust of the earth and created Adam is still the God in heaven tonight. He's still in charge. He is still omnipotent. He is still omniscient. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that happens in our life that God hasn't allowed. Absolutely nothing. He's still in heaven. he's still in charge. Number two, God in heaven is still doing things that others cannot do. He's still doing them. The wise men said, King, it's a rare thing that you've asked for. We cannot do it. Even Daniel said, I can't do it. I can't tell you what you dreamed. I can't get into your head and remind you of what you dreamed. But there's a God in heaven, and he can do it. Every day, I read 5 Psalms, a chapter in Proverbs, and a chapter in Acts. I have some favorite spots in the book of Psalms that I enjoy when I get to the day that I read those Psalms. One of them is Psalms 115, where David is the writer of this psalm, and he wrote this, "But our God is in the heavens." He knew the same God that Daniel did. "He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat." David was comparing the God that he knew in heaven to the gods that other people had on earth. He said, hey, they have all these features, mouths and feet and hands, but they can't do anything with them. But our God is in heaven. He can do anything that he hath pleased. And then my other favorite spot is in Psalm 77, where David asked the question, "Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders." There is a God in heaven tonight. Same God that was in heaven when Daniel walked the face of this earth. There is a God in heaven tonight, the same God who told Daniel what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed and what it meant. There is a God in heaven tonight, and he is still doing what man cannot do. We sing the little chorus, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do." There is a God in heaven. He's still in charge. He's still doing things that are impossible for men to do. We had testimonies tonight about people that were healed in answer to prayer. I thank God for doctors. I thank God for the wisdom that he has given doctors. I thank God for the wisdom that they can go and operate on people and cut cancer out and all that other stuff. But you know what? It all comes from God. It all comes from him. Sometimes he uses man, and sometimes he said, "I'm just gonna just stay out of the way. I'm going to do it myself." And God can still, I was going to say speak, but he didn't have to speak. He can just think, and cancer will be gone. And any other disease or sickness we may have will be gone. I mean, it'll just be gone. God still has that power. He can still do anything that he pleaseth. That's what David said. We have the same God. And so, again, I want you to walk out of this place tonight knowing this. There is a God in heaven. He is still in charge, and he can do anything that he pleaseth and things that man cannot do. And then number three, he does those things in answer to prayer. In answer to prayer. David went back to where he was staying. He called his buddies together, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, "We need a miracle. We need God to do something that he's never done for us before. King's going to cut us all in pieces." Now remember, they were in a foreign land. They were carried captive away from their homes, away from their gods, away from their customs, away from everything they knew. They were in a strange land. And here was the king who was all-powerful. He said, "I'm going to cut you into pieces unless you tell me what I dreamed and what it meant." And Daniel went back to his three friends, I think they got down on their knees. I think they had an all-night prayer meeting. I think they had something to pray about that was so important, that was so on their heart, that they said, we're not going to get up, God, until you give us an answer. And they begged God. They pleaded with God. They gave God every reason they could think of for him to answer their prayer. They prayed without ceasing. They prayed with boldness. You know, the Lord invites us, come boldly before the throne of grace and make your requests known. I think that what these four Hebrew boys did, they came before the throne of grace and they said, God, we need you to do something you ain't never done for us before. We need you to do something that man cannot do. We need you to tell us what this king dreamed. And we need you to tell us what it means. And in answer to their prayer, God says, okay, let me tell you. He dreamed about a statue. And each part of the statue was made out of something different. And those different pieces of the statue represent different kingdoms. His is the head of gold. All the rest of them are going to be inferior. And then there's a big stone that came from heaven and crashed into that statue and turned it all into dust. And the wind blew it away. He said, I'm that stone. I'm God. That's what he dreamed. That's what it means. Listen, do you need something tonight? Are you at the brink of a river that you don't know how you're going to get across? Or are you at the foot of a mountain that you don't know how to climb? Do you need something tonight? The Bible says, be careful for nothing, which means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What God is saying, when you need something, pray. Pray. When you need something, pray. And offer up your thanksgiving. A lot of times I pray for people. I always put the phrase in there, and Lord, we thank you. I think I did it this morning. We thank you for what you're going to do before you do it. Because we know you're going to work. We know you're going to do something that man cannot do. We know you're going to do something that only God can do. God still answers prayer. There still is a God in heaven. He's still in charge. He can do anything he pleaseth. He still does things that man cannot do. He still works miracles today. Hey, he still works miracles today. Forget about these people that don't know God. Forget about these people that say he's not active. I want to tell you that there is a God in heaven and he's still working today. And he works in answer to prayer. He works in answer to God's people getting on their knees and making their request known unto him. You know one of the prayers he wants to answer for you tonight if you're here and you're not saved? He wants to answer the prayer where you come to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, please save me. He wants to answer that prayer for you. In answer to that prayer, he'll do something that man cannot do because there is no man that can make us right with God. No other person nor we ourselves can make us right with God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. He wants to save you tonight. He's not willing that any should perish. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you can see a miracle. We can see a miracle. If you'll call to him and ask him to save you, he'll save you. He'll save you. And not only will the angels in heaven rejoice, so will a bunch of people in this room tonight will rejoice because there still is a God in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being that God. Thank you for being a God that never changes. You're always the same. The same things you did for Daniel and for David and for all the other guys that we read about in the Bible, you do for us today. We take you for granted more. We ignore you more. Oh God, I pray you would remind us tonight that you're still in heaven. You're still in charge. You're still doing things that man cannot do. And you do those things in answer to prayer. I pray, Father, if there is just one person here tonight that's never received Christ, that they would come. We could take the Bible and we'd show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for Christians that are here that you've put something on their heart. Maybe there's somebody here that's been saved and never baptized. They need to get baptized. Maybe there's somebody here that you've talked too, about joining the church, and they need to do that tonight. And so, Father, I just pray as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we'd be obedient and we'd do what you tell us to do. So I ask you to bless the invitation. Use it for your kingdom's sake. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.